This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is up, everybody? This is the first ever in-person episode of the Philly Pod, the official Eagles podcast of the LibertyLine.com. Co-host Stephen Conrad Jr. Not sure where Vic just went, but this is our first run. You can find the video on our YouTube channel, the Liberty Line YouTube channel. I'm sure Vic will tweet it out and everything like that. Obviously, don't worry, the audio is not going anywhere. Make sure you're subscribed on all audio platforms, Apple, Spotify, you know the rest. What else is, what other audio platforms?
Yeah, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, everywhere else you can get your shows. Be sure to subscribe over there if you haven't already. If you've been a longtime listener, you know what the deal is. If you're new to the show because you found us through Instagram or TikTok or what have you, or YouTube or what have you, appreciate you guys for sticking around. You're catching the first, like Steven mentioned, IRL iteration of the show. It took a lot of moving around and technicalities and all this stuff. So who knows if this is going to be the final version of what it looks like, but happy to be able to finally do it in person because that remote shit gets old, man.
Sure does. Obviously, if you're on the YouTube, I just want to remind everybody, make sure you hit the like button. It helps grow the channel. And yeah, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's the Liberty Line YouTube channel, obviously. Perks. So I guess this is our first podcast since OTA started, right?
Yeah, so the last one I think we did was James. Were we talking Bradbury? I think it was Bradbury we were talking about, and how he fits into the defense and this and that. And if Jesse Bates is going to be a thing, obviously probably not at this point. So now we've, I guess, as a collective unit, have at least seen or heard of what the Eagles kind of look like from their first public OTAs that reporters were at. I was lucky enough to be able to be there for a little bit. I caught maybe the first half, I will say, of the 50-minute. It was about 50-minute practice. I saw the first half of it. I caught a little bit of what Jalen looked like. I saw a lot of what Devontae looked like, and some encouraging things from these OTAs. But from what you've heard, Steven, before I get into the details, what is the most encouraging things you've heard, seen, watched from OTAs, from various reporters, from YouTube? You're in the YouTube community heavier than I am, and I know they have videos galore of whatever's going on with Jalen Hurts and his new mechanics and what have you. What are kind of your takeaways from what you've heard about the new look Eagles thus far?
Well, definitely, first and foremost, the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. I know it's just been 7-on-7s, but, you know, all reports, all indications are that he looks much more, you know, improved as a passer. That's the biggest, you know, question mark on this team, obviously. You know, I mean, Eagles made all these big moves. They addressed so many holes in the offseason, but at the end of the day, this team will go as far as Jalen can take them, you know? I mean, obviously, when you have a good team, like I think we will be, we're just projecting right now. I feel like we said this last time. We you know, they still have to take the field. You know, fingers crossed everybody stays healthy. But, you know, I still think even with, like, let's just say the Jalen we saw last year, this team can still be a better team even than what we saw last year. They won 9 games. I think most people would expect them to win more than that this year. But, you know, besides Jalen, I guess I don't even want to know if it's a surprise, but you had said Devontae looked like the best receiver on the team. Obviously, A.J. Brown just now coming here for whatever reason. For a variety of reasons. I mean, you know, Devontae would look better than him currently as we are in OTAs. This isn't a knock on either player, but A.J. Brown did just get here. He's learning a whole new offense. He's been in the NFL a little bit longer, so he's probably kind of like, you know, he probably doesn't want to go all out in OTAs. He wants to be healthy for this team, you know, and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's definitely, like, encouraging, right, that Devontae, because at the end of the day, like, I think Devontae, I mean, he can be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, period. But I just think at the end of the day, like, his chemistry with Jalen Hurts is so important, you know, like, that's... When you have all these moving parts, like Devontae is the one who's coming back. I mean, Dallas Goedert too, right? But like to have familiarity with somebody, because I think it's something to be said about the familiarity of this team now, because it's Nick Sirianni in his second season. Jalen Hurts finally having, you know, the same coach in back-to-back years. He hasn't had that since, what, high school, I guess? That's like the common theme people bring up, right?
Yeah, it was Lincoln Riley and then Nick Saban and then Doug Peterson. And then Sirianni. So Jalen Hurts stated in a press conference once before that this is the first time he's been able to be in an offseason program for the second consecutive year in his football career, which is a big deal for the quarterback position because you need consistency, you need familiarity, you need to be able to grow into an offense. You can't just be in a new system every year and expect to thrive. So he has that this year. And yeah, like you mentioned, Devontae Smith, from what I've seen, but he looked far and away. I don't want to say far and away. He looked like from the few, you know, reps that they were able to do. Again, it's 7-on-7s. Sirianni doesn't do, you know, they're doing that light OTA schedule similar to last year. Not a lot of veterans. And it's 7-on-7 drills. They're walking around in shorts. You know, you
can, doesn't sound like dog mentality to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They just want to make sure people are healthy. And for the most part, the team is relatively healthy heading into the postseason last year. Miles Sanders. So that's always a good thing. That's why Sirianni believes that not having the veterans do a whole lot in training camp is beneficial to the team. But yeah, if you were a stranger and you didn't know any of the players and you came into training camp last week and you just watched every player, just watched the team objectively, you would assume Devontae Smith was the best player on the team based on what he saw. He caught everything thrown his way. He had 2 40-plus yard completions right away. His footwork is elite. His hands are elite. His burst off the line of scrimmage is elite. He beat Bradbury and Darius Slay both. He burned Darius, not for nothing. Burned Slay.
Are you telling me his weight's not a concern?
No, it's never been a concern. Season. It's never been a concern.
Now there's people who think that.
Yeah, it's never been a concern. It's the people that say that are. I mean, it would be nice to see, like, a couple more pounds, but, like, the reason why he's so...
I'd like to see a couple more pounds on me, personally.
Yeah, I mean, we're the last ones that should be talking about somebody's skinny frame. But when his skinny frame allows him to be as nimble as he is and allows him to be fluid in his routes, he's not going to be able to execute whip routes in two steps. He's not going to be able to stop on a dime and cut like that if he puts, you know, a lot of weight on. So his light frame allows him to execute these routes and possess such body control that it throws top corners off. When you can take advantage of Bradbury and Darius Slay, two of the most productive corners this league has seen in recent memory, it says a lot to the player that Devontae is. And if I was a fantasy football player this year, which I am, but like I know how you feel about fantasy football, but if you are a fantasy football player this year,
reality football,
whoever is listening or watching, if you're a fantasy football player, I would put a lot of stock into year two Devontae Smith.
You know, this is probably a poor comparison, but he gives me, and I know it's two different sports, but he honestly he's like, to me, the NFL's version of Kevin Durant, because I remember when he came into the league, everybody's like, oh my gosh, this guy will never be as good as, you know, people think he is because of his weight and all that. And like, he's been playing for what, over 10 plus years now. We're talking Durant, obviously, 10 plus years now. And like, that's kind of been like, obviously he did put on weight if you look at his, and Devontae will, guys, he's really young. He's only a second year pro, keep in mind. Coming out of college, he's still got to put on that adult weight, the natural adult weight that everybody puts on, even athletes put it on, believe it or not. But my question to you, and I'm going to answer before you take over.
You're asking yourself the question before
I guess, can we go on record really quickly? Like, are you you basically kind of like let the people know that you were indeed at...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm allowed to be there. I just want to make sure we're allowed to be there. Because this organization, let me tell you, those guys, man, lucky. I don't know how he got into the building. Yeah, I didn't get in.
They're stingy with the credentials, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you, I wasn't like there with like the... like. It was open to reporters. I wasn't there like with the reporters. I was there with like the journalist I was with at the time.
Let it be known, neither of us are reporters, man.
Yeah, we are not. Like I like write on the Eagles at the Liberty Line, obviously, but like I'm not like the media per se. So I wasn't with the media. So that's why
the new media.
So yeah, the new media. Yeah. So I'm like in the cut when I go, which is why I only saw half the practice. I couldn't be there for the whole time. And the next open one, I believe, is Wednesday. And I don't anticipate being... I know for a fact I won't be at that one. Yeah, but I am allowed to be. It wasn't like some top secret info that I was there. Like, I was allowed to be there for what I saw.
Mm. Maybe one day I'll get in, guys. Yeah. I doubt it. We will
see. They are so stingy with the credentials. And the thing with the Eagles is that they don't even give out, like, camp long credentials. Like, you have to apply for, like, every single practice, every single thing throughout the summer. And games... I know writers at CBS who are barely allowed in like for these games, so they are dumb stingy. It's not like the Sixers and the Blue Coats and other teams in the city where they can just hand out credentials to whoever. The Eagles are very, very particular in who they let in to see their practices, who can see the games, who can speak with players. They are very particular about who they let in for those kind of things.
So the question I was getting at was like you're, because like obviously we got up here and mentioned good things about the team as far as what you saw, as far as what I heard in OTAs, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing still. Is there any like bad things? Any like negative takeaways for me? I'll go really quickly. Like, don't take this the wrong way, guys, but I don't know what, like Jalen, I don't know what's going on with the hair, man. Like, if you can rock like a buzz cut, man, like you gotta just stick to it. But hey, like. I have a bad feeling he's going back to the dreads. There's probably some people will like it. I personally don't. I think he looked great with, you know, the hair before, I thought. That's my one complaint. Like, look.
You don't like him growing his hair out.
Because as a guy who can't rock the short hair, like the buzz or whatever you want to call it, he was rocking like a skin fade, right?
Yeah, he had the fade with the design in it.
That was so cool. Like, I wish I could do that, but I can't because I look like an idiot. I got a big forehead and just unproportionate and stuff like that, you know? Uh-huh. So,
yeah.
Plus, I rock the high hair because I'm not very tall. Give me a few more inches.
If there's any negatives that you could take away from the
we're talking football. I hope your takeaway is football.
Yeah, this is a football take. This isn't an appearance take, but if there was any like negative, and we'll get into the Jalen conversation in a second, but obviously AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts need work on their timing, and that's to be expected because they've never played together and this is their first practice essentially to work on these things. And AJ Brown made it known to Jalen, like, if you're going to miss me, make sure you overthrow me so that I have a chance to go and grab it. And he overthrew AJ once about 5 to 10 yards, and there was another throw that Jalen had to AJ that was mistimed, and AJ had to actually break it up because Darius Slay was about to pick it off if it wasn't for AJ Brown. But it was an overall encouraging performance from Jalen Hurts overall. Like I said, we'll get into in a second, but that's the only negative I could really see, is that him and AJ do have some work to do as far as the timing concerned, as well as any quarterback does when a new receiver comes into the offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's OTAs, so they've only been playing like 7-on-7s, and I know a big talking point with this team going into the season will be that defensive line, and I guess, you know, you don't really get to, you can't sit here and take
They can't rush the quarterback in 7-on-7, so you're only going to see, Jordan Davis is huge, that's about my only takeaway.
And they're in shorts, too, I don't know if we said that, they're in shorts. I think most people know that.
Yeah, they're not in pads, it's helmet, like, you can't touch the quarterback, and I think Jalen scrambled one time during that whole practice, I believe. So, like, there's no pressure in his face. He can't really, you know, we're not going to see how Jalen looks under duress. We're not going to see how he is throwing on the run. You know, it was the whole big thing. Like, he can only throw to the right. He can only run to the right last year. So, we're not going to see any of that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the knocks was that he evades the pocket. You can't really sit here and make judgments on 7-on-7 if he improved on that, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're not going to see any of that in 7-on-7s. No.
And that's the thing with that issue that he had last year. I don't even know, like, in the offseason if you can truly fix that, because that's like a natural game instinct. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to, like, drill it into your head. Mm-hmm. Because a prime example of that is Carson. Remember Carson would just hold onto the ball with one hand? Mm-hmm. And we kept wondering why does
he
do it?
Still does it. I mean,
yeah, and I mean, I guess maybe you can work on that, but again, it's like a natural game instinct, though. Like with we're comparing that to Jalen just like evading the pocket. We won't know that answer until what? I guess preseason if he plays. Yeah, right?
Yeah, and from what I've heard, I don't think we're going to see Jalen in preseason. From what I've heard, because they have all these joint practices this year. They have the ones with Miami, and they have a few other ones. So I think they're going to see all they want to in these joint practices with Jalen Hurts. I don't anticipate him playing much, if at all, in the preseason.
And they only have one open practice this year to the public, not two. Yep. I forget what date that is. I want to say
August 7th, I believe, yeah.
August 7th.
Just one. Tickets are $10, and I think all the proceeds go to, I forget what organization. I don't know if it's autism or wherever it's going, but yeah, the $10 open practice is August 7th this year. They only have one rather than two.
Speaking of which, I guess this is the first pod after, I know it's not, I guess it is Eagles related, but after the, the Devontae Smith celebrity softball game, right?
Correct.
Unfortunately, we couldn't make it. We wanted to go.
We couldn't make it. We decided not to make it.
Well, it pretty much was we couldn't make it. It was at the Iron Pig Stadium. So Jalen Hurts had the, I'm pissed about this because I would have loved to witness this, but Jalen Hurts had the walk-off home run in that game, man. Go figure. I was telling him this, like, I don't know, man. All of the signs are pointing towards this guy just like
he's
winning.
Just a gamer, man.
Winning
gamer.
The fan base over. Like that's what I'm saying. I know it's just a stupid softball game, but man, to have like the walk off, you know what I mean, in front of all those fans, I'm sure the fans went nuts when it
happened.
He's
just a gamer, man. He just shows up in big moments for the most part. You
that's
know?
What I'm saying,
we
man.
Saw it in his rookie year against Arizona, against Kyler Murray. You saw him show up in big moments last year against the Chargers. That was the first glimpse you saw that front
Don't
flip.
Let Cowboys fans get a hold of this. They're going to be like, well, he was 0-7 against teams with winning
records.
And
we know that. But
stay on that side.
But you saw in the Chargers, that whole front flip. You know, he was refusing to lose that game.
He was great in that Chiefs game, too.
The Chiefs game, he went stride for stride. When you get three touchdowns called back in one game, you know, it's kind of difficult to win that game. And off those three touchdowns, two of those possessions were field goals, and one of them was a turnover on downs, I believe. So points being left on the board all year long. But for the most part, you see Hurts going to stride for stride with some of these players. I know the playoff game was ugly, and I know the Giants game in particular was ugly when he went 14 for 31 in those three picks. But you're going to throw up some bad games. It's going to happen. Even happens to the great ones. But overall, in practice, as far as OTAs are concerned, like Jalen, again, 7-on-7s, you can only take so much away. But Jalen, there's something to be excited about when you watch him. Only two incompletions. I believe he was 9 for 11. But three of his first five completions were 40-plus yards downfield, two to Devontae Smith, one to Deion Kane, who is a bigger receiver. He's doing better, from what I've seen, at giving his players a chance to make a play on the ball. Deion Kane, when he threw the ball to him, Deion Kane used his size to make an adjustment and grab the ball in midair, so I assume that's going to be A.J. Brown in regular season games. The only reason Deion Kane really was kind of in that role in practice was because Quez and Rager and Zach Pascal none of them were at OTAs because Rager, for obviously the passing of Jeff Gladney, and I'm not sure why Quez nor Pascal was there or weren't there rather. So I'm not sure about that. So Deion Kane, you know, took advantage of some of the bottom tier, bottom tier receivers, like not being there. But he looked accurate. And like we mentioned multiple times, his deep ball accuracy was never really the issue. It's more of the intermediate routes and out routes and things like that. But from what I've seen, he looks more accurate. He's putting more zip on the ball. And I know we're kind of nitpicking because we all want Jalen to be better next year and to be more accurate. But from the little changes I've seen thus far, it looks like he did take a step forward in the accuracy department.
Which might be more than enough for this team to make like a run this year. I think you had mentioned he was giving his receivers an opportunity to go up and win and go get the ball. Mm-hmm. I feel like he like strayed away from that this past season because in one of his first starts with the Eagles,
he had nobody to grab 50-50 balls. Like, who was he going to throw to? Who's the guy that was going to go up and grab a ball?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Demonte. Dallas guy. Yeah, okay.
Quez was the one making 50-50 catches last year.
But I felt like that's what made him so dynamic. And to this day, I mean, maybe we can sit here and debate this, but to this day, I feel like his best start in the NFL was against the Arizona Cardinals because he did just that. He went out there and just let it rip. He trusts his guys to go up and get it. And his like fearlessness, his precise decision making is what sold me in that game at the time, where I was like, all right, you know what? Like, this guy may just be the quarterback. This may be it for Carson. You know, if they decide to go in another direction, then I would like to see Jalen with the full season with this team. Obviously, he did just that last year. There was definitely a lot of highs, some lows, some, you know, in between. But this is why this season is so intriguing, because this team went out and made so many win now moves, but also moves that can set this organization up for the foreseeable future. Not just that, but Jalen coming into a second season as a starting QB in the NFL, that's when you start to see the quote-unquote jump. If the quarterback's ever going to make it, it's the second year. I mean, Carson did just that. He went from, I believe it was a 16 touchdown to 15 interception ratio to, you know, that MVP season, whatever his final stat line was. What was it, 20-something touchdowns to 7 picks?
Yeah, I don't remember.
We were the best team in the NFL.
I think it was 33-7, I think.
Wow, 33-7, so... And there's other examples of this too. Mahomes did it. Actually, believe it or not, Josh Allen didn't do it. It took till his third year till he made the big jump. Lamar Jackson. There's so many examples. I'm not saying Hurts is on a level with these guys. And again, we're just projecting. This is the offseason. This is what we're supposed to do. You know, people. I feel like there's definitely a section of Eagles fans who are kind of like, I don't know if I want to say writing off Jalen Hurts, but like. It feels that way.
There's a good portion of Eagles fans, and people,
I hate when people throw labels around. Like, I'm a supporter of Jalen, definitely, but I'm not, like, I'm open to the idea if he's not the guy, like, moving on. It's not a situation where it's, like, Jalen or bust, you know?
Yeah, that's why we were watching CJ Stroud highlights the other night, just to prepare ourselves if Jalen is not this guy.
So, yeah, exactly. So this is what this, like... Gotta have an open mind, Eagles fans. I'm not gonna tell you how to think. I'm gonna sit up here. We are gonna sit up here and give our opinions and stuff like that. But you know, we got a full 17 game season ahead. Not just to assess Jalen, by the way. Like, let's see the strides Nick Sirianni makes as a coach.
See if Miles Sanders deserves an extension. See if Marcus Epps can be a starting safety. There's a lot of big years in the waiting.
Can
for a
Devontae
lot of these
take that next step and get into the 1,000-yard crew?
I'm not even really questioning that at this point. We all know what Devontae is going to be.
Will this defensive line be legit? Is this linebacking core finally addressed? Yeah. Can some of the young guys in the secondary step up? Like, the safety position is a big unknown. Jonathan Gannon, I think, besides Jalen, he might have the most to prove this season because. How he went out and got him a lot of help on that defense, man, from the defensive line, like on all three levels of the defense, that was definitely the focal point of this offseason. I know the highlight of this offseason was probably, I mean, we could probably agree, right, the blockbuster move on draft day to trade for A.J. Brown, but like a majority of the offseason was like improving this defense. That was the weak point of the team last year.
Yeah, Gannon has the personnel to thrive now, that's for sure. So you look at Jordan Davis, who can now probably generate the pressure. And we mentioned this on the last show already. So having Jordan Davis will allow Gannon to not have to use so many bodies to generate pass rush. Now he'll be able to drop back. You have James Bradbury, who's an excellent zone corner. So Gannon has the personnel to thrive defense. Now in OTAs, the starting linebackers were TJ Edwards and Kaiser White. So I assume when N'Kobe Dean picks up the system and learns the offense, and, you know, the health checks out and all that, I assume he will probably unseat TJ Edwards in that starting role. But we will have to see that. But don't even take our word for it as far as Jalen Hurts is, because Nick Sirianni came out and said that he's even noticing some different things and different tweaks in Jalen Hurts' games. More specifically, he told ESPN that he's noticing a big difference. He said, "What I see is a crisper ball. The accuracy I've been very pleased with. You can just see him taking strides every single day with his accuracy because of the fundamentals he has with his feet and his upper body." So whatever he is doing with these Southern California coaches that he went to go train with, and we mentioned like he was throwing with Brady or whatever the story is, it sounds like that the steps that he went out to go and take this offseason are starting to pay off. Again, OTAs, practice, not a lot of pressure in his face, but just from the throwing motions and the mechanics in general, Nick Sirianni as well as others around the league can see the improvement as far as Jalen Hurts' fundamentals and his throwing motions.
Jalen wasn't lying in that end of season presser when he had said like he's gonna do whatever it takes to get better. Like, this is exactly what you want to hear, and it's so refreshing. I'm speaking like on the Eagles, I guess, organization as a whole now. Doesn't it feel like we finally have like clarity and like identity on this team? Like, the locker room's not split. Like, I felt like after the Super Bowl, there was always something going on. You weren't sure.
The locker room is 100% in on Jalen. If every single player on this roster is not in on Jalen, it's at least 98%.
Right, to the point where it almost feels like, and again, like, we got a whole season ahead of us. Like, who knows what could, you know, what could happen. But it almost feels like they got so much support towards him where if the Eagles organization decides to move on, then the locker room would be interesting then, right? Because it's like, man, that's our guy. But
Well, that was the big thing with why, like, they ultimately decided not to bring in Nick Foles when that thing was happening. Because
Are we serious?
Well, I mean, they factored into it, like, we don't want all this noise in Jalen's ear, like, and all this and that. But it would be certainly be something if they decided to move for a different starting quarterback this year with how behind you know, everybody is behind Jalen Hurts. And now you're seeing all this stuff with Watson and his 24th now lawsuits. And obviously Rodgers and Russell Wilson and all that speculation was going on.
Russell Wilson wants what?
Russell Wilson wants 5 years, $250 million.
He never fit our timeline anyway.
Yeah, 30. How old is he now? 31? 31-ish. So I think he has 2 years left on his current deal. So, I mean, this year he's going to have to show out. That's a tough division he's in. As we all know, Mahomes is there and Herbert's there and Derek Carr's there. And you're going to have to, you know, if you're going to prove yourself with a division title, it's going to be tough to do it in that one. But yeah, the whole team is certainly behind Jalen Hurts. And the organization looks to be behind Jalen Hurts with all the acquisitions they went. And they actually listened to him. We made the joke not too long ago about him wanting to with the black pants. And then he wanted to get Smitty. And now they went out and got A.J. Brown. So when the Eagles and Howie said that they are firmly behind Jalen Hurts, as it stands, it doesn't look like they're bluffing.
Mm. That was a question going into this offseason too. I feel like that's something we asked ourselves every day from the point, you know, from when the season ended. Because remember, like, the Eagles were linked to Watson and Wilson. They were linked to everybody, right? And then, and
they
then
were
you
linked
got
to any quarterback that was available.
I guess the final one is that we had sacrificed, you know, one of the three draft picks this year to get an extra one next year. So that's going to be the talking point, obviously. Like, but that doesn't necessarily mean, like, I feel like some people, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, some people have it set in stone that we're just going to draft a quarterback next year now without even playing these 17 games. Like, you don't know that. Like, that's never been the case. Like, I don't even think, I mean, so they left the first, like, we left the first round of this draft only using one of the three picks, technically, if we're being honest, obviously trading one of them, and then the other one we traded to get AJ Brown. Nobody saw that coming, right? So, like, you can't, you can make predictions and stuff like that, but you can't just pretend it's set in stone that we're going to just draft a QB next year. There's no, I mean, for all we know, they could end up trading both of those first round picks for, like, another win now player. Because what if this team, yeah, no, seriously, what if this team just, like, makes a run? Like, we don't know. Like, you got to just let it play out, you know?
Yeah, that's what they're going to. The offense is poised to take a lot of next steps next year with the receivers. But one thing I feel like, and it's probably because there's so much attention surrounding the receivers, but Miles Sanders he's in a contract year. And SpotTrack did a good job of estimating and calculating his projected, like, contract or what his market value will be after next season. They factored in a lot of different, like, players and their production and their age and what they got at their extensions. So Miles Sanders' projected contract right now, I believe, is 3 years, $12 million around there, somewhere between $4.5 million annually. So, of course, I asked, like, when I put out the article, I asked Twitter, would you give them this contract? And a lot of people are saying no for a number of reasons, because Miles Sanders is always injured. You're in a league where you shouldn't pay running backs. You can easily replace that position behind such a dominant offensive line. So where it currently stands, Steven, I'm not sure how big of, like, a Miles Sanders fan you are. Well, I know how big of a Kenneth Gainwell fan you are. But when it comes to an extension for Miles Sanders, what is it that you have to see from Miles this year? And regardless of production, would you consider extending him?
Well, if it's, what do you said, the 3 years, 12 mil, that's not bad at all. A little over 4 million for, like, I know he has his question marks.
His projected value is 3 years, $12.7 million. So about 4.2 annually is his projected market value, the way SpotTrack has it laid
out. And I think we have the flexibility to do that. And obviously he still needs he still needs to go out there and prove himself, prove that he can stay healthy, prove that he doesn't have the fumbling issues anymore. Because this is another interesting debate, because there's also two extreme sides of this. There's the one side where people are like, you know, he needs the ball, like, run the ball, give Miles 20 plus touches a game.
There was a point in time where he was getting two carries a game before they switched up the whole playbook mid-season last year.
And the stats don't lie. Like, he's among the NFL leaders in yards per carry over the last several seasons. I believe it's 3 years now he's among the top, what is it?
The top five yards per carry. He's always right around, this year he was fourth, right next to Nick Chubb, I believe, at like 5.5 yards per carry.
I think this Miles situation actually benefited the Eagles tremendously, because there was a point in time where he was healthy and he was putting up like pretty good numbers. There was a point in time where he could probably earn himself like double, if not triple, the salary we're sitting here talking about. Mm-hmm. Maybe more than that. I don't know. So I think this benefited the Eagles because I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if there's other teams out there that would pay him. I think they may go over that. You know, you said 3 years, 12 mil. They might go over that, but I don't think it's as much
like,
as you think.
It looks like a bargain to me. I was like, yeah, I'll give Miles Sanders that. But and everybody's like, you can draft one next year. You can get the same production, this, this, and that.
I guess I agree with that. Because
Jordan Howard came here and averaged, what, 60 yards a game behind this offensive line?
Yeah, right. But Miles is very talented, though, and I think people ignore that.
Yeah, he's a home run threat, I think. I think he's a good home run hitter in the open field, I believe. Like, is he a physical? Do you consider him a three down back?
He's close to a three down back.
Do you consider him a three down back?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think I do too. Can he be a bell cow? I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't win with bell cow backs anymore. Yeah. You need to have the Super Bowl with like four running backs. So.
Last year, when it comes to yards per carry leaders last year, Rashad Penny led the league in yards per carry at 6.3, and then four backs were tied for second. Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders, Tony Pollard all had 5.5 yards per carry.
Do we think Kenny Gainwell could put up those averages if he was the full-time starter?
I don't think so.
I agree. As much as I like him, and I think he's a guy to watch for to take a big jump this year. He's never been projected to be like the number one back.
Who's the leading rusher next year, do you think?
I actually think maybe I'll regret this, but it was Jalen last year, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I actually think it could be Miles, because I think Jalen's going to be more of a passer.
Remember that Miles? Two factors. So remember Miles.
My worry is I hope they don't take his running abilities away from him too much.
Oh my god! I know, that's the thing. That's the thing, because even as it went, and us as sports bettors who are betting on Jalen Hurts' rushing yards last year, and he wasn't hitting them because down the stretch, and I understand the ankle injury was a thing, but down the stretch he was not running as much down the stretch, which was, you know, concern.
It was the injury.
It was the ankle. So I think Jalen Hurts had 782 rushing yards last year, and Miles had 752. But keep in mind that Miles missed five games with the ankle, and I think a hand injury at some point was going on. So yeah, but if it comes down to this year between Gainwell, Sanders, and Jalen Hurts, who leads the league who leads the team in rushing in 2022?
You mean yards, right?
Yardage, yes. Attempts. Who knows attempts? I mean, it better be Miles in attempts, but. As far as yards.
Maybe it might just be Jalen again, huh?
One thing I do know as far as 2022 season is concerned is that Sirianni doesn't want to repeat the same offense that he had last year. I know for a fact that he doesn't want to have a rush-heavy offense. He wants to come out and throw that thing next season, which is evidenced by going out and getting A.J. Brown and Zach Pascal, and they expect more things from Dallas Goedert, who is a top six tight end, despite what some people will say. I know he has to work on his drops, but he's still one of the better blocking tight ends. He's still going to be big in this offense. So as far as leading rusher, I don't know, but I would love to see. I don't know if I want to see Hurts throwing 40 attempts, but they definitely want to come out and throw that thing next year. That's for sure.
More than 25 times a game, right?
I mean, 25 is cool. 30 max. Come on, man. I mean, I don't want to see 40. I definitely don't want to see 40 attempts.
Well, I guess he needs to complete a higher percentage.
Yeah, like it's not about the attempts. It's about the completion percentage, which wasn't terrible. It was 61% last year. People were like, oh, he's not accurate. He was all right. He had some bad games and he had some good games. So it is what it is. So before we do get up out of here, I do want to have this conversation with you, Steven, about the top duos now, because now that we can legit, it's good. Tell me how good it is to see like ESPN and PFF graphics about top receivers and top duos, and the Eagles are actually like in that conversation now. Remember in the past we would see all these graphics and the Eagles would be nowhere to be mentioned because we never had a receiver like ever. And now when you see top receivers and top duos, the Eagles are firmly in that conversation, and it's a good feeling to see us on these PFF graphics. Finally,
forget duos, let alone just have one receiver among the best, right?
And seeing like top 10 receiver lists, and to see AJ Brown on that list, and to see that the Eagles finally have a guy, a top receiver at 24 years old at that.
Two of them.
I don't think it's going to hit me that the Eagles have AJ Brown until I see him. Like, I saw him in person, and that dude is a physical, like every part of that two pause. Every that just the 226 pounds. The 226-pound frame, there's not an ounce of fat on that body. I'll tell you right now, straight muscle. You can give that man, I wouldn't be shocked if they do like end of rounds with this guy because he can just run through people. It is ridiculous.
Kind of like a Deebo Samuel type?
Similar, yeah. It's wild. That is one shredded dude. That is one guy. So the fact that we have a guy like that, 24 years old, who's going to be able to grow, and I understand his contract situation, and you're going to have Devontae, who we're obviously going to have to pay down the road. People keep saying, like, oh, we're going to have to pick one eventually. Let's not worry about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's not worry about this. Let's not call Devontae a WR2 either because he just might be WR1 in this offense. He just might be. And I have a hot take that Steven doesn't agree with before we get into the top duos. I think, and we mentioned this on radio for Fox the Gambler yesterday when we were on with Sean Brace from 3 to 6 on the Daily Ticket. I said that Devontae Smith will have more receptions, but A.J. Brown will have more yards. And I think A.J. Brown will have more explosive plays than Devontae Smith. And Steven didn't necessarily agree with that.
Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead. You didn't agree with it.
I just felt like it'd be the other way around. I felt like Devontae would be more the big
guy. You think A.J. Brown gets the tough yards?
That's what I think. He's got the build for it, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
But who's going to get the 50-50 jump balls down the field? That's A.J. Brown.
They both can do that.
I mean, Devontae, I guess we just Devontae
is more likely to beat people down the field.
Yeah, we saw Devontae do it on Pat Surtain, so that's a good point. That's a good point. But I just think A.J. Brown will have the more explosive plays. I think Devontae is going to do more damage on route running, on intermediate routes. I think that's where a lot of his damage is going to come, personally. But I think Devontae has more receptions. I think A.J. Brown has more yards. That is my hot take. So
we'll revisit this. It's a good problem to have, though. That's the point.
I mean, it's not even like we're arguing. It's just like you have two top-tier receivers for once since Deshaun and Macklin was here. And I don't even know if you could call Deshaun and Macklin both like WR1s because Deshaun was like a specialty, like deep threat. And Macklin, would you consider him like a WR1? I guess he was, right?
Like 1.5.
Yeah. He was like a true like alpha receiver. So now that we kind of have two of them, it is nice. So as far as top receiver duos, I made a top five wide receiver duo list in the league. The Eagles may or may not be on. And I'm curious to hear, do you have a list in mind of top five off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'm doing this off the top of my head. So don't get mad at me, the people that are listening or watching. He's right next to me, so he can only get so mad at me. But off the top of my head, my top five duos... Who am I going number one?
No, start with five. Work your way
okay.
up.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Starting at number five?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I got like three or four off the top.
So if you have five.
Can I just throw in just, no order? Okay, just okay, throw fine. Five out
okay,
there?
Okay, no order. Just give me your five duos. Best wide receiver duos in the league.
Well, first of all, I know they haven't played together yet, but on paper, you have to put the Eagles duo in there. You just have to. You have to put those. You don't agree?
Well, I'll tell you my list. Go ahead.
All right,
so you got AJ
and
Devontae.
They're in there somewhere. AJ, all right. After that, you gotta go. You gotta go to the Rams, right? So Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. I know those two technically haven't played together, but you just have to. Mm-hmm. Any team Cooper Kupp's on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two. Oh, you gotta go Cincy. Absolutely, you gotta go. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got two. Oh, that's three, right?
Okay.
I guess you gotta throw Dallas in there.
Yeah, he's nowhere. They are nowhere near on my list.
Really?
You think CD and Michael Gallup are a top duo in the league?
Or wait, how many have I named? Is that three or four?
That's three you named.
You could take them out and put the Miami duo then. Okay. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
That's four?
Yep.
Who am I missing? Five. I need to do five. What about Oakland?
There you go. Not Oakland. Vegas now, dude. They moved.
Oh,
they moved.
Yeah,
come
sorry.
On, man. They're
yeah,
Vegas
yeah.
now.
Hey, so I got moved. The five you had, right? Is All that right. the five you had?
I'll tell you my five ready. So my five... Starts number five is Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
Because watching when everybody went down last year,
Jesus.
I almost forgot how good Mike Evans was until the Eagles played them in this playoff game, and they had no Godwin. They had no who's the other receiver over there? No Godwin. Somebody else went down. They have a trio. Who the heck is the other guy? Dang, I can't remember.
Oh,
but they have no Godwin.
Damn it, I forget.
And Mike Evans was the only receiver like alive over there. And I forgot how dominant he was. So I have to have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Oh, Antonio Brown.
I'm so stupid.
He was gone.
I'm so dumb.
So Antonio Brown was gone and Chris Godwin was injured. And I forgot how good Mike Evans was until that playoff game. And I was like, yeah, he's still that dude. So he's number five. Number four on the list is T. Higgins and Jamar Chase for me. Number three has to be Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. And the only reason they're three is because Allen Robinson, we don't know, like, obviously he's better than what he showed in Chicago because of subpar quarterback play, but I still think Allen Robinson is good. It's just the unknown. That's the only reason why the best receiver in the league, in my opinion, is number three. on this list. Number two is Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow.
Yep.
Hunter Renfrow is one of the top possession receivers in the league. Davante Adams is arguably the best receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then up top, number one for me is Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Because we all know what Tyreek Hill is. Jalen Waddle had a sensational rookie season.
We might have forgot one.
I have honorable mentions, though.
Arizona has to be an honorable mention.
Yes, Marquise. So I have three honorable mentions. One is obviously AJ and Devontae. I have them six. Number seven for me is Arizona, Marquise Brown, and DeAndre Hopkins. Because first of all, we have to see them play together. And we're not going to see that for six games because DeAndre Hopkins has that suspension with the substance policy, which is the whole reason why they traded for Hollywood Brown in the first place. So I have them. And then number eight for me is Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen.
Oh, yeah.
Only because Adam Thielen kind of fell off last year and he's getting older and I'm not sure what he is going to be coming off his injury. So they are number eight. So top five for me is Edwards. So top five to run it back. Edwards and Godwin, Higgins, Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Honorable mentions are Arizona, Minnesota, and the Eagles. Mm. I can't put the Eagles there yet because I do have to like see it. That's the only reason, and I know what those other five are. So yeah,
quarterbacks don't factor into this, huh?
Yeah, they should probably.
I
ranked them based on talent. I did not rank them.
That's why. Because there's people that are going to get mad at me for putting the Eagles guys
because
top
like
five.
I like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle would not be on top of the list if I factored in quarterback play because I'm not a Tua
guy.
You
have to just factor in your secondary versus these wide receivers. Period. Like.
What do you mean?
We're assessing the top five wide receiver duos in the NFL.
Based on talent, sheer talent. Yeah, I'm not factoring quarterback play. I'm not factoring.
Those five are the five you're most scared to face on.
Exactly, yes.
Regardless of who's throwing them the ball.
And all this, like if you're going to factor that in, then potentially Higgins.
Just pretend Brady's throwing to all five of these duos.
And I would arguably have Higgins and Jamar Chase up top then. Like if you want to do trios, like trios with their quarterbacks. That depends. Do you think who would you take between Derek Carr and Joe Burrow? Who's better?
Joe Burrow.
Okay, so you would put T. Higgins and Jamar Chase on top of that list then.
Yep.
If you factored in quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay. Because who is so Tyreek is Tua, Devontae, Derek Carr, Cooper Kupp. I don't know.
Maybe
Stafford.
That's why I put the
Stafford well. Kupp and Allen Robinson. Who's better, Stafford or Joe Burrow?
Oh shit.
Because they did like play each other.
Yeah,
in Super
well,
Bowls.
Here we go. We're not doing this. That's a team.
And then you got Tom Brady, Godwin, and Mike Evans. You might as well put them up top if you're,
yeah,
if you're factoring quarterbacks.
Wes Welker and
Amendola
and them boys.
Yeah, so that's how that goes. So that's as far as duos. I think the Eagles will eventually be top five, but I have them at six right now just because I haven't seen it and I don't want to be a homer. So that's why.
I guess
but don't
I'm
forget,
the homer, huh?
But don't forget that AJ Brown of his first three seasons were 1,000 plus yards. Just last year, he missed five games due to injury.
The Eagles better. God. Is it a disappointment if they both don't hit their 1,000?
Yes,
okay.
Very much
Let's just make that clear.
If one of them has to hit. Yeah, if you're not a top five duo, right. Not at least one of those receivers. Didn't T. Higgins and Jamar both have 1,000 yards last year?
Yeah,
they definitely did. Yeah. So yeah,
and Jamar was number one.
Yeah, right? exactly. So yeah, so that about wraps up this first edition of the in-person stuff. You're going to see a lot of clips up. We're going to clip it up and put it everywhere, and you'll get the full episode, obviously, on the YouTube as well. If you're catching the audio, be sure to go subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Odyssey, iHeartRadio. We don't do the SoundCloud thing anymore, but be sure to subscribe over there. Rate 5 stars, leave those reviews. Each and every one does help with the exposure of the show. Keep it locked on thelibertyline.com, where we cover all 5 Philly sports around the clock. Me for Eagles. Steven just wrote something on the return of the MVP form of James Harden. If you want to see why he will be returning to MVP form next season,
if
there is a chance it is going to be next season, if you want to know why, be sure to go over to thelibertyline.com where Steven recently wrote an article. Steven, let everybody know where they can find you, what's coming up on the pipeline and all that stuff. I couldn't think of the word.
As always, that's Steven Conrad Jr. on all socials, TikTok, Instagram. I'm sure if you search my name, our YouTube channel is just going to show up anyway. Just definitely make sure you're subscribed and you got the post notice turned on for our YouTube, man, because this is just the start of all this stuff we've been trying to do for a very long time, guys. So definitely check it out and let us know how we did in the comments section, man. Well, I'm excited for what's to come, and I'm excited to just hear from you guys, man. Give us your thoughts in the comment section. I don't know if you pitched this or not, but when you leave your reviews, guys, like, ask us questions down there. We can answer them on the shows and stuff like that. It's a good way to get you guys, involved and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's all I got, man. Hopefully, let me think. We're in the dog days. We're literally about to be in the dog days.
Scraping the barrel here.
We're just
dude.
Like just fishing for anything.
We're making up trade rumors at this point. We're going to have a lot of fake trades.
Yeah, it's so like you guys, man, if any ideas, definitely run them this way.
I'll try to keep you guys posted on as much Eagles intel as I get. And, you know, if I'll be at any more OTA practices or what have you, appreciate you guys for listening. As always, be sure to subscribe. Next one coming potentially next week. We'll make up some rumor or something and talk about it. So until the next one, y'all, peace out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.